Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Authors on the Air. This is the third portion of my Superstar Wednesday show. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. My guest calls herself a mystery writer, an animal lover, and a modern-day cowgirl. I love that. Right now, she's in Wyoming on this beautiful, beautiful piece of property that she and her husband have, along with and her hunky husband, by the way, a pack of rescue dogs, an occasional goat and donkey. She's got horses and likes to play with her Keurig. I'm going to ask her about that. She also tells me she writes overly long emails. I can attest to that, and messages in Facebook. So Pamela Fagan Hutchins is my guest today. Pamela, welcome to Authors on the Air for your very first visit here.
It is, and thank you. Hi, Pam.
Hi, hon. It's nice to talk to you on the phone again, except this time on the radio. What's new and exciting in your world?
New and exciting is 3 days of driving to get to Wyoming, only to land here and have a big book release yesterday. So I'm like a rat on a wheel, spinning and running and spinning and running.
Tell us about the book you just released.
I am excited about this book. It's called Stunner, and it's the second book in a trilogy that features what is, for me, a little bit sexier protagonist. Still the same fast-paced mystery. This one tackles a lot of women's issues and, you know, gets a little more down and dirty. And the next book in the series comes out in June, so it's just bam, bam, bam.
Wow, and that's Bombshell, right? Comes up next? No, Bombshell's
Knockout
out.
Knockout comes next?
Knockout comes next, sorry.
Right. Yeah, Bombshell came out first.
Last year, right.
Then, yes, last year, and then Knockout will be the third. And all of them kind of play off of the double meaning of the femme fatale type of theme. So where I've really had fun with this, especially with all the, you know, the Me Too things that came to light in the media over the last year when I'd already started writing the book. So it's been a kick.
Wow. You kind of have branded your books What Doesn't Kill You. And that, I have to tell you, when I first started reading your books, that's what drew me to the titles. Plus, you have the funkiest, coolest covers on your books. They're just really great. You can tell each trilogy apart from the other. And so I love them. I love these books so much. They are very, very, very funny in a lot of ways, although you're tackling some serious issues too, right?
Exactly. You know, when I sat down to write, my editor originally was not happy with me that I left the literary fiction path to go with something that I felt would be really relatable and easy to read. Because when it got right down to it, I wanted to write the things that I wanted to read. And I wanted my reading to be an escape into an alternate reality for the everyday woman. You know, so my protagonist could be you if life were a little bit different, and she'd be facing the same kinds of problems that you're facing and somehow getting through them with a laugh when things are at their worst. And so that's what I set out to do, sometimes more successfully than others. And the covers, I think, convey that. They're vivacious books. You know, they're big emotions and big laughs and big cries.
And they really are, too. I think also the covers are so colorful. And you definitely can tell one character book from the next. So, for example, when you started a long time ago and you your first, I think it was in 2013, wasn't it? Or was it earlier than that?
Yes.
It was in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 12, when you mm-hmm. when you first started it, the What Doesn't Kill You. The covers and the fonts that you use tie in so nicely, and that's something that a lot of series writers do not do very well. And you've kind of mastered it. Are you creative in any other ways, Pamela, besides writing? Because you seem to have a
not
vision for these.
Uh-huh. I have a vision in my head, but I'm not creative graphically, but I guess I'm good enough at describing it to work with my cover artist on what it is that I see, you know, when I picture my protagonist and when I picture the reader going out and deciding what to look for. I want the covers to be honest to that reader so they don't get a pig in a poke, you know.
Right.
But as far as my creativity, it's writing and a little bit of music. Not good enough to do anything serious with it, but good enough to, you know, ruin the eardrums of all my family.
Sure. And that's as it should be. You know, if you can't harass and harangue them, what point is it, you know? Now,
exactly.
I'm on your website, which is, by the way, for those of you listening, PamelaFaganHutchins.com. It's really not difficult to find Pamela. She's there. You have a link on your website to stop human trafficking. Will you tell me why that's important
yes.
to you?
Absolutely. When I started writing, I guess it was my second full protagonist trilogy in the What Doesn't Kill You series, which is the Emily books, Heaven to Betsy, mm-hmm. Earth to Emily, Hell to Pay, I started getting more and more interested in, first, in the impacts of immigration and the plight of people that immigrated. But as I did that, more and more I was drawn to the, especially for young girls, human trafficking, sex trafficking. And the more I learned about it, the more emotionally involving it became. And so I ended up doing certification training to work with victims of human trafficking in the rescue and recovery process, and started working with a wonderful group that's near my home in Texas that provides fostering education and recovery for these girls. When I did the training, it became clear not only that this is something that's so emotionally all-encompassing with me having three daughters, with knowing how prevalent it is in society, but also mm-hmm. sitting next to parents whose daughters had been rescued from trafficking, sitting next to women who'd been rescued from trafficking. I was literally physically ill after doing this training because it just was so overwhelming,
yep.
and it's just become super important to me.
Well, I have to congratulate you. I'm a certified victim advocate and have been for many, many years, having been an abuse survivor myself. So, and as a matter of fact, that was my job for a lot of years. So it's an amazing thing, though, when you assist someone and hello? Pamela, are you there?
Something weird happened.
Oh.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
We had a live radio, a live radio excitement there.
Okay. It's an amazing thing when you see one of these victims turn into a survivor and then a thriver. So, kudos to you, my friend. I love you even more because I know that about you. Now, you've also started
doing
some.
Kudos to you for being.
Thank you.
Kudos
thank
to you for being a survivor and a thriver.
Thank you. So you're also doing something new, aren't you?
I sure am.
Let's talk about this new and fun thing that you're doing.
I just became an author on the AIR Global Radio Network, host of my own show, Wine, Women, and Writing.
Congratulations. How do you love it?
Yeah, I love it big time. I love it huge. It's so much fun getting to play fangirl, you know, and reach
Isn't
out
it?
To authors and talk to them. Oh, my gosh, I love it.
So you've done a show or a couple shows. You talked to Chrissy Craig, Cece Hunter, right?
Yes.
Who is just adorable,
yes, I did.
Isn't she? She's just
oh,
the best.
Oh, she's so cute.
She really
funny.
Is.
She's and, so funny.
And you have some of my favorite people coming up. Mary Alice Monroe is coming on your show, and your show is this Friday, correct?
That's right. I'm excited about it.
And then you have Lori Roy coming, and you have Susan Mallory and Bob Dugoni, and your buddy, Craig Johnson from the Longmire series.
My new and burgeoning buddy, who was so incredibly nice when I reached out about doing the show, that he tried to scoot it up 3 months and do it in person. And we haven't been able to work it out yet. But that's just the kind of thing that when I say I love it and it's so much fun playing fangirl, that's what I mean. It's like all of a sudden you're getting to talk about, could we do this live over coffee instead? And how cool would this be? And
yeah.
Pinch me.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad you're loving it. And I knew that you would be wonderful at it. I just knew it. So congratulations. And I hope that you and Craig can do a live show or a sooner show where you're face-to-face. That would be tons of fun. You can email me and I'll tell you how to do it, okay? It's really easy.
Awesome. I will.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you also, now you are busy all the time. You write a blog. You have a newsletter.
Yes.
You do giveaways.
Yes.
You're
yes.
constantly on the go. Plus, you love animals.
I do. Animals are an everyday part of this mix. In fact, when we get off, I'm headed over to the corrals with the horses. And I just figure that you got to make the most of every second you've got because we never know how many we have. So I kind of
yes,
go at it
right.
full tilt.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, I'm curious, what came first, the cowgirl or the writer?
The cowgirl. When I was growing up, I spent my formative years split between Texas and Wyoming, and I used to want to be a barrel racer and rodeo queen when I grew up, neither of which was fated to happen, but the dream remained alive. And at the same time, I guess around third grade here in Wyoming, my third grade teacher told my parents, your daughter's going to be a novelist when she grows up. And at the time, I rejected that notion because, of course, as a reader, writing was hard. But she turned out to be right. So I was a closet writer for many, many years until my, as you said correctly earlier, hot husband. My hot husband said, you know, you're kind of making me feel bad that you don't have enough confidence in yourself to go out with this within the structure of this life we've created. I'm here for you. I'll catch you if you fall, but you're a writer. Put it out there. And so I did. But I tell you, one of the best moments has been on a book tour a few years ago. I talked Eric into a side jog through Wyoming. There's no such thing as a side jog through Wyoming, by the way. That's 13 hours out of the way. But it was his
okay.
first time here. And I introduced him to the area. Of course, we bought a house a year later, but we did something even more amazing. We found that third grade teacher who is no longer in very good health, but was able to come out to dinner with us and for me to thank her and say, you planted the germ in an idea that took 35 years to come to bloom, but thank you very much, and give her a set of books. It was fantastic.
God, that's great. That is so great. I love that. Tell me about what you were doing before you were writing. Tell me a little bit about your bio and your background.
Sure. I am a recovering employment attorney, hoping never to go back. But
I'm so sorry.
As an employment attorney, I kind of morphed into the people side of things as opposed to the lawsuit side of things, and ultimately became a human resources executive, an executive coach, and then spent many years and still own the company that does this doing investigations. So I have this other hat I wear at least quarterly for board meetings and stuff of an investigations company.
How fascinating. You know, there are obviously a lot of recovering attorneys who write books or even who are still, you know, practicing their painful profession, who write books. And I've often heard it said that because you learn to write when you're writing legal briefs and anything that you put before a court or any type of a legal document, you have to be very succinct. Does that help you, Pamela, when you're writing fiction?
Tremendously. I think that that is, there's a lot of truth to that, in addition to the fact that we're given cases and we are advocating for a position. Like, that's like taking a point of view, if you will, when you're
mm-hmm.
writing
mm-hmm.
and creating or spinning the most plausible set of facts that supports that position. It's very much like writing a point of view. And take that a step further, all my years of doing thousands of investigations, interviewing people, was like getting a PhD in, you know, how humans behave under pressure.
Sure.
And all of those reports that I would then generate on the most salacious behaviors that people could come up with in the workplace, at least, taught me to be a fast writer and to hone in on the point. I think it was invaluable.
That's amazing. Tell me about your investigations. What type of investigations do you do? Or did you do,
They're
anyway?
They're all in... Mm-hmm. Well, I was a card-carrying private investigator, which makes for good, you know, pull it out at a party over a glass of wine.
Sure.
And everybody go, ooh, ah. But I didn't
right.
actually videotape people or chase around after cheating spouses. Ours are in the context of bad behavior in the workplace. And so it's harassment, discrimination,
yeah.
Anything that someone can do to get in trouble at work. And so to me, that's always been very interesting because of the inherent power that's involved with bad behavior.
Absolutely.
And, you know, translate that over into my interest in the human trafficking issue, and you've got the same issue, right, just on a greater scale.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Boy, talk about control, power, and entitlement. It's all there, isn't it, in the workplace?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the enormous pressure that goes with the thought of losing your status, your income, you know, things like that. And people do incredible things. You think we'd all know better, but we don't, because we still, when you apply pressure, sometimes the worst in some people comes out.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I want to get back to writing. Congratulations on winning the Silver Falchion last year. I know that.
Thank you.
I bet you anything, Craig Johnson was thrilled to hear that because he also is a winner and is CJ Box. And so that's a wonderful thing. Congratulations. You've won a lot of awards, including USA Today Best Books in Fiction. You've got nearly 2 million downloads for your What Doesn't Kill You series. It's an incredible amount of book sales, just in downloads alone.
It's been a crazy, crazy ride. And sometimes I just kind of sit back and think, I got to take a moment to appreciate this, because what happens day by day is you think, what I'm writing right now sucks. It's always sucked. Everything I've written has sucked. I'll never be any good. And so you have to go back and say, wait a second. Something's working here. Calm down, insecure, overly obsessed writer, because day by day, writing's a lonely business filled with self-doubt, but the awards are super awesome.
You know, you've got, what, like a dozen books out now, never mind the box sets and
yeah.
the nonfiction. And you just started writing, 6 years ago?
My husband would say I came out of the closet 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I had a backlog. I had Nora Roberts, who I would listen to speak years ago at a conference, who said by the time she was published, she had manuscripts lined up under her bed. So when they said go, she was like, I'm ready. And it
wow.
was a little bit like that on a smaller scale for me. I ain't no Nora Roberts, and I didn't have that many. But, you know, years of writing, years of stories, outlines, bad books, ready to be recycled. And so it does help you come out of the gate faster. Plus, I've learned to write. As a professional writer, what you do is write, and I've learned to do it more efficiently.
Are you a disciplined writer? Do you go into your writing room and just stay there until you knock out X amount of words or pages or so on? Do you daily write, Pamela?
I do it in spurts. And when I start a spurt, I'll usually give myself a week, two, three between projects. And then when I start a spurt, hell may freeze over, you know, the waters will rise, whatever. I'm going to get that word count done for the day. And I do very, very aggressive drafting. I'll draft, I'll sit down and do an outline, and then I'll sit down and draft a novel in a couple of weeks and put it down, do the next one, put it down to the next one. There's still a lot of work left, right? I mean, there's still the rewrite and the getting in the critical feedback from editors and then, you know, redo. But the actual committing a draft to paper, to me, is such a painful process that I pull it off like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I understand. Rather than peeling the onion, Yeah, I understand that. Do you like the writing process, though, overall? When you're finished, are you? Can you say, oh, that was so much fun, or, oh, God, I'm glad that's over?
The first drafts are, God, I'm glad that's over. The rewrite I enjoy, because when you're doing a rewrite, it's like taking this kind of muddy, got sticks and, you know, bugs stuck in it, ball of whatever, and you pick them all out and you sculpt something and discover that it was a beautiful piece of clay and that suddenly what you were trying to say comes true. You fix the plot, the theme becomes clear, the characters start to have depth and sparkle, and that's awesome. But first drafts are hell.
Wow. So you have these trilogies that you do. Do you want to do standalone books, or do you think that you
like the
trilogies?
I have a softness for the trilogies because I think it gives me a lot of time with a character arc. When you're writing a mystery, you have so much to get in that's plot-based, and yet you don't want to create war and peace out of the your book length.
Right.
So I like the trilogy because it gives me a chance to explore that character arc. I could see doing women's fiction, just straight-up women's fiction without the mystery element, and doing a standalone. There's a couple I have in my mind, but I've got two more trilogy characters I want to explore before I turn my attention to that. So a couple of years from now.
Wow, that's terrific. Have you ever thought about writing outside the genre that you're writing right now?
I have, and in baby steps. I'm working on a straight-up romantic suspense novella right now, featuring my next year's trilogy character. And that's my first true baby step into another genre. So women's fiction, romantic suspense are natural extensions of what I do. A thriller or a legal thriller would be not, I can't see myself doing, dystopian YA or, but never say never. I mean, that's the whole Christie Craig, CC Hunter story, right? Where they came to her and said, we think you should write YA. And she's like, I don't write YA. And they're like, yes, you do.
And she's been doing it for years now. I remember when she first started and she was probably one of the first people that I interviewed. So I remember when she started that, and she's so bloody successful at it. She's just amazing.
So good.
So
good. Her last YA book, This Heart of Mine, was so emotional and poignant.
Yes.
And she was able to do a depth with an age group, teenage girls, that usually I don't associate with that kind of depth. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I don't remember being, I'm well past my 8 years of being a teenager many, many times over, but I don't remember being kind of as aware and empowered as a lot of teenage girls are nowadays. And to have someone like Christie Craig writing for that age group, to me, I would have loved that, because there wasn't, back in the day, there was our age group to teenage
Absolutely.
Girls, to young adults. Yeah.
We snuck through Judy Blume.
Interestingly enough, I didn't even read Judy Blume. I was reading the big thrillers and the big long works of fiction because that's what my mom always read. And so I used to read all the old thrillers and the suspense and the mysteries and everything. I mean, my young adult, I think, was probably Agatha Christie. And here's a funny thing about series books. I think Agatha Christie wrote like 110 books or something.
Crazy.
I read every single one in order because I didn't know any better. I didn't know that you didn't have to do that. But so I read all of her books in order over a summer. And because they were little, you know, little ones that you get on the spinning rack in the drugstore. And so every day I'd go and pick up another one. And that really made me crazy. That turned me on to mysteries so much. Funny. But
I did the same thing with my parents' books, you know, whatever my dad was reading. So that might be old. Gosh, I'm going to blank out on the names, but those old World War II spy books.
Yes. Yes.
My mom was reading Danielle Steele and, you know, things that if you put those together, if you put those two together, ended up who I gravitate towards.
Who you are.
Like. But in the beginning, it was following the paths of the books that my dad and mom left on the side of the tub.
That's so funny. Well, listen, I've taken a lot of your time already. I promised you I wouldn't, but tell everybody where we can find not only you and your books, but you and your radio show, your podcast.
Awesome. If you go to my website, it's kind of one-stop shopping. So PamelaFaganHutchins.com, and it will click you through to my books, to the radio show. I've got a Facebook page for Wine, Women, and Writing Radio, and I've got a Facebook page for the writing as well. But probably the easiest entry point for all things Pamela is through that website.
And also, please stop by the Stop Human Trafficking link also to see how you can contribute to Pamela's work with victims. It is an amazing, amazing thing to do. Hope Rising is a wonderful organization. You can donate and help. Please do. Every little bit helps, no matter what.
There's nothing that makes my day more than when I get an email with a contribution made in my name because somebody clicks through from my website. That literally makes me more excited than them buying my books.
Well, and let's not forget to buy the book. So Bombshell, Stunner, and Knockout are the three in the Ava series for What Doesn't Kill You. And really sexy, smart, and sassy. I love the books. I love you. I'm so glad you came on my show. Thank you so much for being with me, Pamela Fagan Hutchins. And congratulations on One Women in Writing podcast.
Thank you, Pam. You are wonderful. I love what you do for readers everywhere and making all this available to them. And I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We have a mutual admiration society. And one day I will get up there to Wyoming. It's a part of the country I've never seen, and I'd love to be there. So we'll talk about that too, okay?
Awesome.
Congratulations on your show and your books. Thanks for being with me, Pamela. And have a great week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And that's our Superstar Wednesday, the best-selling author lineup. I'm glad you were with me. I hope you come back again next week. I hope you have a great week. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.